So this Sunday, we are proud to have a very special guest preacher. As part of our sermon series on modern-day saints, we felt it was important that we have an actual saint come and preach for this last Sunday in the series. Pastor Brooks is a nice guy and all, but he's no saint. Because this is an outdoor service, we thought it might be best to have someone who is highly regarded saint when it comes to the environment and nature. With this in mind, there was really only one person we could ask. Green Energy, the superhero. Will you please give me a rounding round of applause for Green Energy?
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your applause. You're too kind. Yes, it is an honor to be invited to be here with you today. And it's not often I receive an honor that Superman himself hasn't received. You know, when I'm walking around town or shopping in the grocery store, people are always coming up to me and saying, "How's Superman doing? What's he up to these days?" They could care less about me, Green Energy. And I tell you, it's, you know, but Soup is my good buddy. See, those of us superheroes who are close friends with him, we call him Soup for short. And we try to keep him humble so his ego doesn't get too big. We don't want Superman to have a super ego. But I tell you, when people were coming up to me recently asking me how Superman was doing, I was having trouble giving a good answer because, you see, for a while, Superman was suffering from some major depression. The first thing you got to know is that Superman isn't a spring chicken anymore. He's got arthritis. He can no longer throw cars like Tom Brady throws footballs. He's got cataracts and glaucoma, and so his heat vision and his x-ray vision, they're all cloudy and going every which way. But the worst for old Soup was that this past year he was diagnosed with emphysema. No longer could he blow his mighty gust and have a hurricane set into motion. No longer could he give a blast of his arctic breath and have an entire lake freeze. And it was his arctic breath that he was especially missing when I visited him last month in his home. There he was, laying back on his lazy boy recliner with his eyes glazed and glued on the weather channel. He was paralyzed with depression. And so I said, "Soup, it looks like your bowl has gone cold and you've lost your flavor." And he said, "Ha ha, greenie." But I could tell he wasn't laughing with me. His eyes were still glazed and glued on that TV screen like Lois had left him for Spider-Man. Oh. So I said, "Soup, what's going on? You can talk to me, Soup." And so Soup turned toward me and he said, "It's Greenland. It's the ice. I wish I still had my arctic breath." And I knew right then what he was talking about, because that day on the news, they announced that an iceberg twice the size of Manhattan had broken off from its glacier in Greenland. And just a couple of years earlier, an island of ice four times the size of Manhattan had split off. Both Soup and I knew what this meant for rising sea levels. We knew what this meant for cities all along the East Coast that would be swamped by the end of the century. We knew what this would mean for cities like Venice and Mumbai. We knew what this would mean for entire island nations like the Maldives and the Marshall Islands. Some of those island nations are already planning for their future evacuations, evacuations from which they'll never return. It didn't help that Soup was watching the Weather Channel. I could see already why I was depressed, but watching the Weather Channel just made things worse. Because all through the month, we had been breaking heat record after heat record across the nation. And this was following the warmest spring on record in this country. No longer could we say it was a statistical blip, because for 327 months straight, the entire planet had a temperature greater than the average temperature of the 20th century. Both Soup and I knew that if the temperature of the Earth raised 1 to 2 degrees, we're told some years back, all the planet Earth was in deep trouble, and now it's already raised 0.8 degrees. So I looked at Soup, and I said, Soup, I know you wish you could solve all the world's troubles by yourself. But I think this is a situation that doesn't call for superhuman powers. It's a situation that calls for extra-human powers. And Soup looked at me and said, huh? And he explained to me that if somebody's already human, there isn't anything more they can really do to become more human and extra human. And I said, sure, Soup, I can see how it would seem like that at first. But listen to me here. And then I said to Soup, can you tell me what a sociopath is? And Soup said, oh, that's an easy question for me to answer there, Greenie. I've been battling against sociopaths my whole life, just about. And then he talked to me about how a sociopath was someone who was self-centered and driven by greed and didn't care at all about other people, and they would victimize and manipulate and sometimes even kill people to get what they wanted. And he said, these are people with no sense of morality. They have no human heart. In fact, they are inhuman. And right then, Soup could tell where I was headed with this. Because if at one extreme of human behavior is the inhuman, then at the other extreme is the extra human. And I told Soup about how the world religions at their best encourage us to be extra human. And when we cross over that divide between the human and divine, that's when we're becoming extra human. And so I was telling Soup about this. And this morning when I was listening to that scripture, I thought that scripture that Corey read is an excellent example of what I'm talking about. Because Ezekiel starts off by talking about, woe to you sociopath shepherds. You shepherds who only care about yourself and don't tend to the flock. The flock is starving and getting devoured by wild animals, but they don't care. But then Ezekiel tells us what the opposite of the sociopath shepherd is, and that's God as a shepherd. And he talks about God tending to the sheep, feeding the sheep. When the sheep gets lost, God goes out and finds that sheep, bounds up the wounded, strengthens the weak. Now, I don't think the scripture is saying that God comes down to earth like some kind of superhero shepherd with superhuman powers. That's a little far-fetched for me to believe, although Superman didn't think so. And so I think what this scripture is saying is that when you have a good shepherd who's doing these things, watching after the flock and feeding the flock and caring for the flock, then you've got a shepherd in whom you can capture a glimpse of the divine. And how does one see the divine? It's when someone is doing those things that make them extra human. Flash forward to the New Testament, and you see an extreme example of an extra human in Jesus. And then you have all of the followers of Jesus. Here's Jesus, who's one continual glimpse of the divine, and then you have the followers of Jesus, and when they begin becoming extra human, we call them saints. And they're giving us glimpses of the divine. And so I thought I was on a roll talking about what it meant to be extra human, but then all of a sudden, Soup's face just dropped. He said, but what does this have to do with melting glaciers and rising sea levels? And I said, Soup, I think there's really only two ways you can look at this situation. The first way is to be all doom and gloom about it. That's to sit around your house all depressed, doing nothing. Either that or you're in denial about what's going on. That's one option. But the other option is to say that now this is the time in which the good shepherds are to rise up. It's time for the saints to answer their calling. It's for the time for humans throughout the world to realize their capacity to be extra human. And if you think about it, we can start to become extra human right now by caring about those people who will be evacuated from their islands. We can become extra human right now by caring about the kind of world that we'll be leaving for our children. Instead of being the doom of humanity, our response to global warming can be the spiritual salvation of humanity. Now, Soup has been dealing with the likes of Lex Luthor for too long, and so he's become kind of cynical. And so he said, Greeny, it's nice to care about other people and everything, but what's the solution? And I said, Soup, you're looking at the solution. The problem has been dirty energy, and so the solution is green energy. A lot of people know that the source of a lot of the dirty energy in this country is coal plants. But what a lot of people don't know is that there is already technology that can provide affordable green energy. It's time to stop fighting Mother Nature and to start working with Mother Nature. Let's let Mother Nature help us. Let's rely on those sources of energy that come from the sun, the wind, the waves, and from underground. So I said, let's start working with Mother Nature. I said, just imagine if all those millions of dollars we give in subsidies to coal, oil, and gas companies every year, if we started investing that in green energy. Now, the transition from dirty energy to green energy won't be easy, but it won't require superhuman powers. It will simply require extra human powers. It will require people who care enough to change the policies that we need in order for this country and for the rest of the world to flourish in the 21st century. Now, it was nice of Corey earlier to describe me as a saint. But really, it's all of you who are the saints that we've been waiting for. It's your capacity to become extra humans. That's what we need. And my job is just to energize you. Zappo! Shabam! Shabing! Shazing! Yes, can I get an amen? Amen. All right.